to rely on Him. We just the holiness of God is a real broad subject. It's real deep. It's expansive. Yeah. I think that's the word I want. And so, just realize that we have help to understand it. You know what I'm saying? Because we can get overwhelmed in hearing that, wow, this is way over our head. And it is way over our head. But we're not mere unchanged people trying to understand an incredible deep subject. We're not mere unchanged men. You know, in other words, we have been regenerated, born again. Inside of us is the Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth, who will teach us all things. So realize that's who's living inside of you. And so you, I, us, will be able to understand as much as humanly possible the holiness of God. It's beyond you, it's beyond me. Remember, the strength to follow commands can never come from us. The strength to understand the holiness of God can never come from us. But are you now obeying? At least you have the strength to obey, right? And we do, when we do obey the word of God, because of His power, His might, His strength. Same thing with understanding the holiness of God. So I kind of want to, and I think Mr. Chris came up and asked a question last week, last Wednesday, and I'm like, that's a good question. I want to not overwhelm the people of God here, Word of Life. But I do want you to, it's like a fine line. This is not a subject to be taken lightly. It is a subject that is life-changing, mind-altering. And it is a subject that's beyond our ability to understand. Okay, so that's one side. But on the other side, we have the Holy Spirit who can help us understand. Therefore, we have the ability to understand. And that we can actually use the benefits of understanding the holiness of God and incorporate them into our daily life. So that's the balance. You follow me? We're going to get this thing as much as humanly possible through the power of God. So I'm excited about it. It's something that's going to take its time, but you got to do your due diligence, as Sister Rolanda prayed or exhorted. If you got to take this message home, and you got to meditate this, the holiness of God. You got to meditate this subject. You really, really do. If you just treat this like anything else, you will not get the benefit of it. This is one of those deep nuggets that's a mile below the surface. And just your normal, regular hammers and drills that you were drilling with when they went west to get that gold, and get certain nuggets. This one is a big nugget. This is the nugget of all nuggets. This is a foundational nugget. Hear me when I say that. Amen. Everything points to His holiness. Everything points to His holiness. Period. I see now, more than ever before, why there's so much chaos amongst the body of Christ, amongst the people of God. Because we don't understand this. That's why. He does not have the preeminence in a lot of ministries. And therefore in a lot of churches, and therefore in a lot of the hearts of the people that go to those churches under those ministries. The holiness of God is trampled underfoot daily. God is disrespected amongst His people minutely. And probably the greatest disrespect and the denigration of His holiness probably happens on Sunday. If the Lord God held true to wage of sin of death, and you died as soon as if you did all Ananias of the fire, or Nadab and Abihu, or Uzzah, or whoever else, there'd be a lot of death on Sunday morning because they've taken the Lord's name in vain. He said, don't do that. We take it in vain because we don't know who he is. We just don't know who he is. And it takes more than a mere mention. We got to land on it, word of life. You land on it, and then you purposefully, predeterminedly, if that's a word, meditate that. Day and night and night and day. I beg of you, I implore you, please do not just, well, that's over. Let me just go completely back to my life until next Sunday or Wednesday. I beg of you, do not do that. So for the Wednesday night, you know, we changed some things on Wednesday from Wednesday night because we talked this on Wednesday night, and this needs to be taught Wednesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So you can take your notes out, but things are going to kind of be a little different on some areas, and so just every man, amen. Let me pray. Father God, we need you. If we ever needed you, we need you now.
Amen.
And I thank God that I'm saying that because Father, I usually pray that prayer when I'm at a funeral. But I thank God, Father, we're not at a funeral. We are in church worshiping you, hopefully in spirit and in truth, begging you to help us understand such a subject as profound as your holiness. We need you to even scratch the surface. Because we are sin-sick people. We have flesh that's unregenerate. And we got struggles. We're mere, made out of dust. You know all that. But I'm thankful that you fully know that and realize the depth and the amount of help that we need from you. You are our helper. Help us to deliver this word that we may understand it and begin to incorporate it into our daily lives as my pawpaw prays. Praying that this is a word in due season. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Is that all right, saints of God?
Amen.
So we're going to come at the holiness of God from this angle, I guess. Believe me, it's an expansive subject. It can come from many angles, but I'm hoping I'm hearing from God that we're going to kind of come from this angle. So we're going to talk about three things. Who God is as it pertains to his holiness, number one. Number two, who we are as it pertains to our sin and the heinousness of our sin. And three, what is glorification? Something I've never preached on. Mentioned it, but never preached on. Glorification is the final summation or the final phase of sanctification, which is our supposedly righteous living. And you know the verse, he who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. We know that verse, right? But we probably did not realize that the completion of that work that he began is glorification. And we really don't understand what that is. And we're going to show you, the Lord is going to show us, teach us, how all of this pertains to his holiness. Because it all pertains to his holiness. So let's take the first one, who God is as it pertains to his holiness. Look at Leviticus chapter 11. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Leviticus chapter 11, while we take our time. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. Some of these are going to seem simplistic, but realize it's because you heard it before. But I heard it before. I know this verse. Please don't do that. Dig in, hear it, Have ears to hear, and then let the Spirit speak to your heart concerning what he's saying to us as a church. Amen? Amen. Verse 44 of Leviticus 11. For I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves therefore. Consecrate again means to separate yourself, set yourself apart. Sister Bonanno was praying. Therefore, and be holy. Why? For I am holy. Well, here's God's own self-declaration letting us know that he is holy. God is holy. He is saying that himself. I know you know that, but let's keep your eyes on it and see it again. Go down to verse 45. From the Lord who brought you out from the land of Egypt to be your God, thus you shall be holy, says it again, for I am holy, says that again in those two verses. Do you think he's trying to tell us something? And it's something. I've been in church for 58 years. I do not remember, there might have been a series from all the churches and pastors and ministries I've been up under that taught on this, but I don't remember one. There might have been, but I don't remember one. And if it was, if I've been a mention, maybe a one-day series. The holiness of God is a subject that's just not a subject that we just like to hear. Or if we want to hear it, we don't understand it, so we just kind of just let it go. We don't really like, well, what is really that? We don't really ask those questions. And if you're in a church that's really promoting this life now, this get yours now, prosperity and all of that, you surely don't want to hear nothing about the holiness of God. Let alone a series on it, where you land and stay there for some weeks or months. Yeah, I know God is holy. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, he told us to live holy. Yeah, consecrate, separate yourself. Walk right out the door and do the exact same thing. No separation, no distinct living, no peculiarity. No one saying, wow, that person is different. I don't understand them. We're not to blend in. First thing he told them, I'm the Lord your God. Therefore, as a result of that, consecrate yourself. Separate yourself. Why? Because I'm holy. You belong to me. I'm holy. You're to be holy. You know what holy living looks like? You say, well, what is holiness is for me? What is that? How am I to be holy? By living a consecrated, separated, set apart life. You don't think as the world thinks. That's why we taught on biblical worldviews. You don't think as they think. You don't do as they do. You don't speak as the world speaks. Your life, your thinking, speaking, and doing lines up closer to the word of God than it does society. You say, well, I've heard that before. Yeah, but I'm trying to let you know in the context of holiness, that's what holy living is. We're to match that because he says, you belong to me. I'm holy. And notice he didn't mention that I'm good, which he is, or that I'm true, that I'm faithful, that I'm just, that I'm a God of wrath. He mentions I'm holy. I want you to be holy. Because that's the summation of all of who I am. And I want that to be the summation of all of who you are. Amen. Who I am and who we are. You don't have to turn there, but Peter quoted that. 1 Peter, you can write it down. 1 Peter 1. Verse 14, 15, and 16, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, in all your behavior. Because it is written, and that's where he wrote, where it is written, is written in Leviticus 11, where we are now, verse 16 of 1 Peter 1, he says, you shall be holy, for I am holy. He said, for it is written, Peter quoting Leviticus, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Why are you to be holy? Because your Father is holy. And if you were a father who If you're a father and you have children, your life was supposed to reflect how you wanted your children to live, to follow your example. That's what it was supposed to be. Now, if you didn't, I ain't trying to run no guilt trip on nobody, but I'm just talking about how God had set it up. And so your life is supposed to reflect how you want your children to live. Well, that's what God, who is a spiritual father, is saying. I want the life of my children to reflect me. You belong to me. Reflect me. He said, be followers of Christ as dear children. Children, dear children. Children who want to imitate their father. Be imitators. Look at Habakkuk. I know you got to look in your... look in your index for this one. Habakkuk chapter 1. I'm going to have you turn there, but I'll wait till everybody can get it. I know if you're in a on a digital, you can just look it up, but H-A-B. And it's closer to the end of the Old Testament. So, somewhere near Jonah and all up in there. Haggai. Habakkuk. Yeah, closer to Malachi than it is to Genesis. And when you, I'm going to wait till everybody get it. Yeah, so you got Hosea, Jonah, Amos, Joel, and then Micah, then Habakkuk. Chapter 1, verse 13. God said it in Leviticus about himself, I am holy. Peter, through the Holy Spirit, quoted again, I am holy. Look at Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. Do we have it? Okay. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil. I think King James says to behold evil. And that word behold in the Hebrew means to look upon it with an approving glance. So your eyes are too pure. That's why the better translation, to approve evil. I'm not pleased. Yes, of course I look upon evil because he can't help but see it because it's all before him. He saw it in eternity past. He saw all the evil that was going to happen. But he does not approve of evil and he never will. Why? Because he is pure. It's another good word for holy. He's pure. And you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Those verses there, and they're just a small sampling, are just to let us know that God is holy. That's a commentary on himself. We said on Wednesday night crew, just bear with me, because we need to hear it again. We quoted Derek Thomas, it was, that he said that the holiness of God is so foreign to our experience, so alien to our own existence, that we have almost no grasp whatsoever about the character and nature of God. And that's why we need these teaching, so that we can start to get somewhat of a grasp. He said, in fact, we're so baffled by God's holiness that more often than not, we find it offensive. Totally agree with that. We don't want to hear that. It's really in the way. Let's just give me mine. I'm trying to get a Cadillac. I'm trying to get a bigger house. I'm trying to look good down here because I want my prosperity to be my godliness. Folk would rather have things to look godly rather than be holy. So Apostle Paul was telling, I think, Timothy, he said they're supposing that gain is godliness. When you gain, hey, whoa, the Lord sure bless you. Look at that car. Oh, he bless you. Look at that. You got a job there. Wow, the Lord sure is blessing you. We say that all the time. We count that as the Lord is blessing you. He might be. I'm not saying he's not. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he is. Now, that certainly does not mean that you're a godly person. You want true, real godliness? Be holy. Meaning, separate yourself from the world's way of thinking, speaking, and doing. So that when they see you, they've seen the Father in a sense. Why? Because you're acting like him. He said, imitate God. As dear children, imitate me, says the Lord. Mimic me. Mimites. Don't let it be offensive, Father. Help it not to be offensive to us. The first thing, I'm just believing that it's just God's timing. Because other than that, I would feel bad that 18 years we haven't really just landed on. We've talked about it, but just landed on it. But I think we're ready to hear it more now. But first and foremost, we need to understand the first and foremost characteristic that we need to understand about God is that he is holy. And if it was the Lord's will, what I probably would tell a pastor, open up a church, I said, man, teach on the holiness of God for the first 10 years. Yes, sir. You start the church, teach on that. Unless the Lord say otherwise. Because we need to understand that first and foremost that God is holy. Now we said on Wednesday, say it again, I believe it is impossible for us as mere human beings to understand the fullness of the holiness of God. We're not going to understand that subject in a real deep manner. But that does not give us an excuse to not deal with it at all. Because what we do need to do is to understand it as much as is humanly possible with the aid of the Holy Spirit according to what the Word of God teaches us. Because the Word of God does teach us about the holiness of God, and it's there teaching us so that we can understand and know that he's holy. So there is a measure that our finite pea brain minds and sin sick bodies can understand by his grace, which really is just incredible that we can understand a subject like that. Us. That's amazing. That's a miracle in itself. The absence of a clear understanding, as much as humanly possible, of God's holiness, an absence of that understanding leads to shallow living. I kind of reworded it from, leads to shallow living. When I say shallow, we mean superficial, trivial, petty, small-minded living, just shallow, no depth. And there are many, 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 many Christians that lead a life like that. No depth in their worship, no depth in their real living, no depth in their thoughts. Not understanding the holiness of God leads to impotent living. That is living that is without power, powerless, weak, helpless, incapable, ineffective living. Not understanding the holiness of God. What else does it lead to? It leads to selfish living. And a lot of that is evident. Selfish living, meaning self-centered, self-seeking, self-interested, egotistical, egoistic living. You're the center, not God. And we clearly see that amongst Christians, amongst the people of God, and of course in the pulpit. You would think the world revolves around the pastor. And it does not. So it leads to selfish living. It leads to weakness. Weakness, this is a different word, weak living. Different word from impotent. Impotent meaning means lacking power. Weak living means that your life is flawed, faults, weak points, failings, limitations. You ought to be getting stronger, but you're not. There's still too many things that bother you, or still too many areas that you're failing in, that we're failing in. You follow me? That's what that's talking about. Still too many areas that we're failing. Remember, our lives ought to be characterized by a decreasing frequency of sin. So those areas of failings and weak spots ought to be less and less and less. Do you hear me?
Amen.
That's why you can take an inventory of your life. Let a man examine himself. You must examine yourself, and it should be done daily by the Holy Spirit. Are you living an impotent life? Are you living a life that's weak, self-centered, selfish life? It may be you don't have a clear understanding of the holiness of God, because it will lead to that. Shallow living, shallow worship. That's why you got songs that got so much funk and bass and beat to it that you really thinking about dancing on the dance floor. You're not thinking about giving God any glory. He's the last. You singing the words. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a funky beat and stay focused on the words enough to really sing those to the heart of God. I'm not saying that's not. But more often than not, depending on your age in Christ Jesus, that can be more of a distraction than it is a help. And so it leads to shallow worship, impotent living, selfish living, weak living. It leads to a life of disobedience. You live a life in defiance of God. Non-compliance, breaking his rules, his laws, which is sin, what sin is. You're living a life where you are insubordinate to God. And your living is wayward, all off the path. All because you don't understand the holiness of God. An absence of a clear understanding of God's holiness also leads to a life of compromise. A life of compromise. Compromise. You cooperate, or cooperation, negotiation, concessions, conciliation, give and take. In other words, you're bargaining with the devil and your flesh. Let's give and take. Let's negotiate this. No. God said, don't do it. You want to do it. There it is, black and white. You don't negotiate that. Word of God says, don't do it. You don't do it. You don't get to negotiating with the devil. Well, you know what? It wouldn't be so. Because he's going to always give you reasons to sin.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to always give you reasons to sin. And if you don't understand the holiness of God, it's not a care. You will negotiate. You will give concessions. A little give and take. Oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of sin, a little bit of this, like a little bit of BET, like a little crack. A little crack, a little pregnant. Ain't no such a thing as that. Seriously. You hit that, bam, you gone. Ain't no little crack. Ain't no little porn. When you get to negotiating, you are messing with fire. Compromise is don't understand the holiness of God. It'll lead you to live a life of compromise. So I think if you look at this list, and lastly, it also it'll cause you to go about your daily life with a matter of fact attitude toward your sin. When I say matter of fact, I'm saying an unemotional, no big deal attitude toward your sin. I ain't no big deal. You done compromised it. You selfish. So you're like, well, that ain't no big deal. That ain't so bad. I ain't know what he doing. Let's go over this list again. And let's see if we really need to dig deeper into getting a more depth of understanding concerning the holiness of God. Not having a clear understanding of God's holiness is the reason for shallow living, impotent living without power, selfish living, self-centered, weak living, all kind of faults and things, living a life of disobedience, living a life of compromise, and going about your day as a matter of fact attitude toward your sin. That is a real problem. And I'm quite sure all of us fall into one of those categories, if not more. And to be honest with you, if you're really honest with yourself, with true self-examination, we fall into probably two, three, or four or more of those categories on a daily. Amen. if we're really honest with ourselves. Father God, help us. Help us. I believe that at the core of true worship is knowing and understanding the holiness of God. At the core, the heart, the foundation, the essence, at the center of true worship is knowing and understanding the holiness of God. The more you understand the holiness of God, the more you can worship, because you know Him. You're starting to really know Him, and therefore you can then worship Him. You can't worship somebody you don't know, not truly worship. I've used this example for many years with just somebody came up to you to pray and praise you. Said, man, you're a good, you know, man, you're a good golfer, man. I saw you in this. You're like, man, I don't even play golf. He don't know you. He's trying to praise you and uplift you and don't even know you. Look at this dude like, dude, I don't even play golf. Who is he talking about? Oh. That's what we do, God. Let's throw stuff up. We don't know him. Sinning last night, sinning this morning, living a life of compromise, disobedient, selfish, shallow, impotent, weak. We're going to come to him with, hey, I praise you. Like, really? You ain't picked up the Bible. You ain't picked up my word. You ain't said two words to me since last Sunday. Here we are Sunday again. Now you want to holler at me. That kind of worship really is worthy of death. That's what Nadab and Abihu were killed for, not worshiping correctly. And when you're talking about I love you, Lord, you're lying. Because your disobedience to love the Lord is to what? Obey His commandments. So you're doing the exact same thing as Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Ghost. So if you drop dead in the middle of your praise and worship, he would be right in doing that. I know this ain't shouting, preaching, you know, material, but it is though. It's going to cause us to really grow up. We're going to put on our big boy and big girl pants and really learn about who our Father really is. And quit pretending or mistakenly thinking that we know Him when we don't know Him. I thank God we're going to become a church that truly worships Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. True worship has as its core the holiness of God. True worship has as its core the holiness of God. In other words, at the center of worship is the holiness of God. It's like that's the foundation. If I were to draw a building, and at the foundation would be the holiness of God. Then you build on that. Does that make sense? And if you don't know that He's holy, then everything you're building is shallow.
Right.
Let me show you that in Scripture. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Look at verse 8. Revelation, the fourth chapter. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. I said, at the core, at the foundation of worship is the holiness of God. And the four living creatures, each of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. All that is symbolic. And day and night, they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is, and who is to come. How many times have we read that verse? Too many to count. Here's another prayer. Father God, familiarity can breed contempt. We're familiar with this verse, we're just like, no big deal. Help us to dig into it and see it afresh and anew in Jesus' name. Look at what's happening here in heaven. You got these creatures around God. And don't worry about what the creatures are. Six wings and eyes and all that. Don't worry about that. Lock in on what they're doing, how long it goes on. Look at this. And day and night, which would have been fine, but then they add, they do not cease to say. In the literal Greek, they do not rest. There's never any rest. They keep saying all the time, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Isn't that something? We have no idea. And we, Father God, so we need you. That is something. If you really just dig into that as best as you can with your finite mind. That they're saying that all the time. And we are getting a peek into heaven. He's letting us see that they're saying that. If that doesn't at least begin to make inroads into your thought life, just how powerful, Lord, I don't even get the words, how necessary, I don't know what other word to use. The holiness of God is, I don't know what else to tell you. Because they say that all the time. That lets you know that God's holiness is of the utmost importance. Woo, Jesus, help us to see this. Help me to teach it. They said it all the time, day and night, night and day. They do not cease. No rest. They keep saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This is in the presence of God. That lets you know that God's holiness is of the utmost, that's the most important thing, period. And we down here, and just going, all the pastors throughout all the churches all over the world, just treating us with hardly nothing. Majority don't even mention it. If they do, just a quick mention. When that's the central theme, the foundation of their worship is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's why I say at the center, at the core of worship is the holiness of God. You see why I say that? Because look in heaven. We have just been allowed to peek into heaven and we take it like it ain't nothing. Help us, Father. Help us see it. When we read that verse, we just were allowed to see into heaven. A sinner read that, won't know nothing but it means nothing, because he's spiritually dead. But we have been privileged to peek into heaven and hear what they're saying day and night and night and day, that God is holy.
Amen.
And it's tripled up, holy, holy, holy. I can represent a number of things. I got three in my notes. Three times. No, he just didn't say God is holy. He said he's not holy, holy, but holy, holy, holy. I think the first reason for the three is it represents the triune God, the Trinity. God is holy. God the Son is, God the Father is holy. God the Son is holy. God the Spirit is holy. Holy, holy, holy. Second, also is for emphasis, could be. Because the Jews spoke like that. When they tripled up things, it was for emphasis. He's holy, holy, holy. Third, because it's three times, three in the Bible represents the number of completion or completeness, wholeness, perfection. So not only is God holy, 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 he's perfectly holy. He's completely holy. Hence, holy, holy, holy. Jesus. Do y'all realize he didn't say he was good, 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 which he's good? You truth, 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 which he is true. He's faithful, 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 which he is faithful. He's powerful, 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 which he is powerful. He's a God of wrath, wrath, wrath. No, the only component, characteristic that is tripled up like that in all of Scripture is that he's holy. Holy. That is the absolute summation of all that he is. Because all of his love and his power and all the other things are because he's holy. And these creatures are flying around, hovering, saying this all day, all night. Do not cease all the time. That's a concept we don't even understand as human, just mere humans. But God put it in his word because he didn't write the word for the angels or for them creatures. He wrote it for us. So that means we can understand it. We just got to not be too overwhelmed by it and say, Lord, help us. Keep praying like I'm praying right now in the middle of this. Lord, help us to get this. Yes. This is way beyond us. But we're beginning to see why they didn't say you good, 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 and you true, true, true. They said you're holy, holy, holy. And they're saying it all the time, day and night, night and day. That means, Father God, your holiness is of the utmost importance to you, and we need to get that.
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come. Let's see how much time. We'll stop there. That's enough. We'll pick up. We're going to look back at Isaiah chapter 6 next week. Because that's the only other scripture in the Bible, in the Word of God, where God is referred to as his holiness, rather, is holy, holy, holy. It's the other, only other scripture. We'll exegete that next time. Father, our Father and our God, our holy heavenly Father and our holy heavenly God, we bow down to you in reverence and awe of your holiness. I'm so glad that you are not a man that you should lie, the son of man that you should regret that you ever made a promise. And I'm saying that because you promised us in your word that your word can be spiritually discerned and understood. And if I didn't have that promise in that, I would say, Lord, I don't know, because this holiness is just a little too much. But you promised in your word that you cannot lie. And so since you said your word can be spiritually understood and discerned, I thank you that we understand more and more of your holiness. Amen. And we don't want to understand it just to understand it, head knowledge. We want to understand it so that it will affect and infect our lives through and through like a virus in a good way. Mm-hmm. That we'll go out and live holy before a watching world. Amen. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.